Welcome to ICA Podcast 9. The goal of ICA Podcast 9 is to provide insightful information about the industry to members and non-members of Intercoiffure America Canada, the voice for salon owners. Each week, we'll bring business, educational, and inspirational topics to aid anyone with ties to the beauty industry. We will have a revolving series of hosts, pulling from industry leaders as hosts and guests to keep things lively and interesting, and make you wonder what's coming next. Now, here's this week's edition of ICA Podcast 9.
I want to welcome everybody to the ICA Podcast 9. I am so excited today that we have two great people on to discuss, I think, a very relevant subject of AI. And this is for Intercoiffure America Canada. And I want to welcome Gordon Miller and Sam Ricardo. Sam is a member and a member of Intercoiffure America Canada, as well as the board member. And I think today we're going to have a lot of fun talking to Gordon about AI and how it's relevant to our industry, and then where he sees it headed in the immediate future, and then in the far future too. So Gordon, I'm going to let everybody tell, well, everybody knows what you've done in the past, but let's talk about what you're doing right now, and then how you've become so involved in AI and all the conversations that I think the three of us have had, either collectively or independently with you. And then I want to tell everybody on the front end, we're probably going to have to do this in a two parts because it is so friggin' exciting for us. And I think that it's going to stimulate conversations with whoever you're with, wherever you are, to sort of gain a lot more information about this fabulous subject. So Gordon, welcome.
Thanks, Sheila. So let me give the real quick self intro, which is I decided to leave Harebrained back at the end of October. I'd been with Harebrained 5.5 years. So, you know, I come from publishing and media, originally educational publishing, then the more, you know, salon focused media, you know, American Salon, and then Harebrained. And I'm kind of coming up on my last professional chapter is how I feel. And I'm not going anywhere from this universe anytime soon. But, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, the final stages of my career, and I have such a passion for technology and such a passion for what's happened with social and digital media. And I just felt there were things on my bucket list I wanted to accomplish in the last few years. And so and AI was already on my list, and I made the change. I founded something called Social Beauty Makers, which is kind of a collaborative consulting and media effort by me. And AI blew up. I was excited, and I've been talking about it kind of nonstop now for quite a few months, as you both know. And I'm out just trying to put some ripples in the pond of beauty.
Good. So I know, Sam, you have a lot of questions. So you want to start with where you are and what brought you into the interest of AI?
Yeah, sure, of course. It's good to be here. Welcome, everybody, the podcast. And first off, you know, I've been listening to what you have to say, Gordon, and I've had you on repeat on several of them, because it's so conclusive in some ways what you're doing. I mean, just the information's amazing. I guess the biggest kind of overarching question that I know that I ask, I was asking people that are brilliant people that come into my salon, I know they're super brilliant. I've been asking them for 5 years, what's the 10-year future of the salon industry? Because like yourself, I don't think I'm going to be standing there doing hair myself personally 10 years from now. So yeah. What's the future? But now that we've been compressed into this huge moment that's happening, how do you just sort of see if you could kind of create an umbrella idea or thought about where we will be in the salon in 1 year to 3 years to 5 years?
I think, again, you know, if we actually look back a little bit and think about how technology has in many ways revolutionized the industry in the last 10 years, and that kind of started with the explosion of social media and kind of a slow adoption towards it. But when I look at that last 10 years, you know, what has emerged out of, you know, technology, including the smartphone, which is the foundation of social, and it's been fascinating. You know, people talk about the movement towards independence. It wouldn't have happened without social media. It would not have happened without the smartphone. And it empowered people, and it allowed professionals to do things that they otherwise weren't very good at. And so when we look forward, I'm thinking, you know, anything I listen to, read, you know, watch about artificial intelligence in the larger world, is when you push past concerns, it's about efficiencies and how do we kind of plug holes in the work that we do every day? What aren't we very good at? And can, you know, technological tools help us? And so to me, you know, business education, we've been talking forever about 80% of a person's success is from soft skills. We've talked forever about how important it is to understand numbers. And what I'm seeing with AI is, you know, it's ability to provide tutorials for people looking forward. I mean, it's a baby right now, but it's moving fast. I'm looking at its ability to coach people in business. Sam, you and I had some texting about, you know, putting your P&L into AI, which is still kind of, again, a baby when it comes to math, but you had some kind of weird experiences, but also exciting.
Correct. I did. I took 2016 just to be safe. I made sure it was clean and it was just a P&L, but it was a full year and I dropped it in. And I'm telling you, it came back with 10 suggestions that were so amazing that it really got me excited about how much more helpful it can be to us. And, this morning on Business News, they were talking about, I think they named about 9 types of people that are most likely to lose a job. And this morning, job reports were off by half of what they were supposed to be, something like, so they thought there'd be 360,000 new jobs and there was 160,000 new jobs. And a big piece of that, if you really look closely through AI, through the companies, the people that are laying off is across the board. It's people that are, pushing pens and papers. And yep. So I personally, I'm out to protect my service providers and my business and myself. And I think Sheila and we all feel the same way. So the second question I would have is, can you see a practical use for one or two things today that has to do with AI? And if so, which part, what would you use? Would you use chat? Would you use DALL-E? What would you use?
Yeah, well, you
probably would use Midjourney, but.
Well, actually, I love Midjourney, but I would say, and of course, that's an image generator for those who may not be familiar, but using AI, of course. I'm going to go back to something you said a moment ago, you know, with that job loss of people, pushing pencils. You know, again, one of the shortcomings of our industry is that we've not had enough people pushing pencils. It's like we just haven't, especially, the typical salon. And we forget sometimes the typical salon in America has like 3.5 people in it. It's, that is the typical salon. And Intercoiffure, of course, is a whole different category. And I think you guys have been better at pushing pencils than anybody. But, to be more efficient, to be more effective, or for those who don't do it at all, I think that's a massive opportunity. And then to go to your question, I think, it starts a little bit with that, which is really starting to understand what you should be analyzing in your business. And I think you can use ChatGPT, and I've upgraded to 4, which is just mind-blowing. But, to ask it, what are the business things that you should be paying attention to as a salon owner? It's all about the questions you ask, and that's the power of the chat platform. And, it can really help you have an understanding, perhaps different than what you have today, of what you're missing in your business. It may not have all the solutions for you in this moment, but I think, it can educate you about the things that you should be doing. And it's all based on best practices that have been around, because I think for those who don't understand AI, the entire internet, all information is in this thing's head up till the end of 2021. And when I say head, it's the artificial head. But it's all there, and it's going through a process of finding its way to the best possible answer using all kinds of statistical models, behind it. But so it can really uncover, I think, a lot of shortcomings that a lot of businesses have. Then in practical use for today, marketing seems to be the top of list item pretty much wherever you look. And I recently did a test after watching a video, and I'm passionate about social media. I love sharing quotes. It's kind of my thing. And so I went into ChatGPT and said to it, give me 25 inspiring quotes, that would be great for salon professionals. And I would say out of 25, it gave me 15 really solid ones. I watched a tutorial on how to upload that into Canva. And from beginning to end, from asking that question to creating 15 slides that I can post on social if I choose to, it took not more than 10 minutes. That would have taken me 10 hours, in the past. And it's now, it's real. So marketing copy, your website copy. I go into chat, I use these tools every single day, and it's important to understand what it's good at and not. It's like kind of like a new tool comes into beauty and someone hands you the prototype. you know, you need to understand it's a prototype. You know, it's not necessarily complete, you know, so we have to understand that about all of these tools. And so, but you can take like your website copy, you can take your profile on social media, cut and paste it, go into ChatGPT and say proofread and edit, colon, and then paste it in. And it will come back with a better version, more than likely, of what you've done. It's an imperfect tool. It's the great creative people will say it's not as creative as it could be, should be, and most would agree with that. But as far as cleaning up English language, tightening, you can take a long piece and say make it from 400 to 200 words. So I think marketing, writing, anything, you know, that is a research assistant, you know, if you're going to have a class for your team, you know, you can ask it to give you maybe 5 hot point or hot button issues for today's hairdressing professionals behind the chair. It'll come up with a draft list. It's brilliant.
One of the things that I just used it for, which is pretty fascinating, was the logistics of an event. You know, I put everything in and I was going, how is this going to get the people from A to B in a certain amount of time? And it came back and it was like, no. And I mean, it was going to cause a lot of confusion anyway. And I started talking to some event planners and they're all using it now. When they go in, they put the plan of the hotel in and they put the event, and then it comes back with some of the sort of the traffic jams and some of the flaws on it. So most of the event planners now are using AI for that, which I think is fascinating. So I was thinking in terms of designing a salon, all the little things that you want to do and some of the hot things you want to do, you could put that in there and it would come back and tell you how to lay it out.
Yeah, I just did an article on the history of AI. I was curious for my own website, which, by the way, is socialbeautymakers.com. But I did.
Wait. Say that slower. I'm sorry. Say that slower.
You know, I'm a fast talker, Sheila. Socialbeautymakers with an S on the end, .com. And there's a free e-newsletter there where I just share my podcast and share articles. But I just did the history of AI. And it's worth looking at to understand that this started in the 1940s. And then how it's gotten to where it's gotten today. So, you know, it's just great. Pain points. How many of us have been to events in our industry? You know, we're not the event industry, that we do have the log jams. We have trouble finding things. We can't find the rooms. And so how brilliant that you're able to do that now.
I know. I thought it was fascinating. I mean, and it came back to me within like 30 seconds. It was just brilliant. So I know that we had a conversation about discernment and that AI has not learned how to have discernment. So when AI pulls everything out to give you an answer, pulls out from everything that's logged in, whether it's true or not true, correct? And then it comes back. So sometimes that information, you have to have a little discernment yourself to know how to apply. Is that correct from our conversation in Chicago?
It's I view it, and I say this because the true experts view it this way, as first and foremost a research assistant. So think about, you know, having an assistant in the salon who's new to the industry, who you have do something, you know, go collect some information maybe for a class you got coming up. You're going to look at their stuff and give it a good look and say, okay, well, let's adjust this. It's not quite right. And this is a digital version of that. And it's emulating what we do. You know, so and you look at the last few years, we have this fake news thing in the world, and put politics aside. But there's a lot of misinformation out in the world because of social and digital media. And so we get information and people ask us questions and we do our best to figure out the correct answer. But the correct answer is based on the stuff in our head. And if we never got the right information, the true information, you know, garbage in, garbage out. So it's similar, and depending on the topic and the perspective you're looking for, it may or may not find its way to the easy answer in the same way that we're struggling. So it's important to realize that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, Jill. Sam, you said something one time to me, and I want you to sort of remember, you said, you know, there's a good, a bad, and a beware when you're looking at AI. So I think that sort of goes along with what he just said, you know, that there's a good and bad. So can you elaborate on that when you mentioned that at the last time we were together?
So I think if I'm hearing you correctly, there's different groups of people. And like I have customers I talk to, which I love talking. Some of them don't even want to talk about it. They're afraid of it. They don't want. First off, you can't opt out of AI. AI is coming. It's here.
It's here. Before.
And it's been here, actually. It's just wild.
Siri's AI.
Yeah. So I think I heard Peter Thiel say, there's the person that doesn't do a very good job at what they do, they're screwed. There's a person that does a pretty good job, they're probably screwed too. But then there's a person that does a really good job, but it still needs some help. They've got a superstar assistant by their side, which you just said, Gordon. And then there's the masters at the top of the group. And that group are going to really leverage AI the way people leverage the internet. They looked like they were geniuses when the internet came out, but it turns out it was a pretty simple but massively transformative tool. And they looked like they were geniuses. But I want to add that I saw a report the other morning on CNBC that 100 people working in an organization were given full exposure to AI, trained on it and all that. The top 1% did not improve in much at all. It was negligible how much they improved their work. The bottom 20% or even maybe more had at least a 35% improvement in the quality of what their deliverable was.
Wow.
So what I did was I went to our salon. I took the very youngest, newest person. She's 19 years old. And I kept pushing her and saying, I want you to go on AI. I'm going to show you how to use it. And well, now she's using it every day a little bit. And you can see the difference in her confidence because all of a sudden she's got this little secret genie that's a genius. And it's helping her answer questions. It could be any kind of, once they see it, it opens up. For our salon owners at Intercofura, I hope everybody will take the time, you know, to really dig in. And if you want to follow it closely, you know, Gordon Miller, you inspire the hell out of me. I listened to your things over and over again. And I think that, you know, absolutely one of the thought leaders, if not the thought leader in our industry with it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I can't say how much I appreciate that. I want to add, you know, what I keep hearing. So again, think back a little bit. Beginning of social media, how many of us, and I'm not one of them, but how many of us were like, I'm not doing it. You know, it's going to destroy the world. I'm old enough to remember when I was in grade school when the calculator was invented. My grandparents had a fit. They're like, this is going to ruin the world. This is going to ruin education. You have to learn long division. You just have to. And so we've had, you know, there's a lot of history about our you know, fear of change, especially as it relates to technology, because it's so foreign to so many people. So we're in just another version of that today. Fear, you know, for all kinds of reasons. It's new. It's moving way faster than social media ever moved, pretty much any technology. And I would just caution people when you think about, oh, it's going to take my job. I'm seeing that on social. To your point, Sam, that doesn't mean it's going to, you know, instantly be robotics cutting hair. Where it's gonna, you know, again, fill in blanks or replace jobs is perhaps a receptionist, someone who's not doing services on clients. I believe it's gonna do color formulations within a couple of years. I believe the consultations are gonna happen perhaps outside the salon and not even connected to the salon. I think, you know, clients will be able to self-consult. And by the way, all the research is 95% of hairdressers don't give regular consultations. So it's a pain point for consumers. So all kinds of stuff.
So Gordon, to your point, I already know for a fact that there's one company who is about ready to launch an AI for color consultation. And so it's already in works and it's going to be put out there probably before the end of the year.
And you know, the best colorists have for decades told me that the typical person doing hair color in our industry isn't very good at formulations. It's a science, you know, it takes a lot to get there. And by the way, it's one of the few things in our industry that when you're in school, you get very little experience. Perhaps you have a teacher who's not good at formulating. Perhaps you just don't have an opportunity. In many school clinics, someone formulates for you. So, you know, you're behind the curve before you get started. And it's kind of a left brain thing for a right brained industry. So I just see that as a game changer that will benefit hairdressers.
I think
it's going to be a little hard for a lot of people to segue into it, but it is here for sure.
Not new professionals. And that's what's great. So within, you know, new professionals coming in, if they come in when that tool's already available, you know, in 10 years, most of the industry cycles out anyway, and we'll be there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that there's a whole generation, obviously, that they don't even know about a rotary phone, obviously. You know, you see those things that people trying to figure out how to use a rotary telephone that are 17 years old. And I think that that's part of it is it's going to so increase the efficiencies. I'm just repeating what you said, Gordon, the efficiency of the day-to-day salon. Go in, and I've already had it right, all sorts of things from how to talk to the customer when you're standing up, how to talk to them when you're sitting down. Just all these different scenarios. I literally went from the front door of the salon and I walked my way through and I asked questions at each point that I would ask AI, hey, what should I do now? When the customer is right at the threshold, what should be happening? And it's just, it's intriguing. It really is. And it's not perfect. I think I already told you guys, I wrote a letter about it. I'm in my apartment in New York City and the people upstairs were making noise. So I asked AI to write me a letter to the board to complain. And all I did was drop in the name and find Holly and I's name. And I got the great response and the person upstairs was quiet now.
And you've also, Sam, you and I've talked about this, had experience the legal side of things in terms of writing agreements and not that you should, again, trust it in totality, but it can give you a great head start, especially on things that, legal, the guidelines in the legal world don't change very much, year to year. There's a lot of history there. And so that's one of the tools, as far as it being smart, I think that's almost top of the list.
There are a lot of our listeners that are probably considering phasing out of their businesses over the next 3 to 10 years. AI will write some things for you, suggestions, and the exact documents if you want. Of course, you need to have it fine-tuned. There's just so many options to ask questions like that. Look, I just want to say, for me personally, I am so thrilled that I get to be a part of this at what I consider to be the tail end of my industry. I love our work. It's very hard. It's difficult in many ways, but I just love the process. I love seeing the change, being a part of the change, and experiencing all of it. Some of it's bad, some of it's hurtful, but it's exciting to see. And I did ask somebody before AI, the guy who started the Princeton Review, a customer of ours, said, what do you think, Adam, in the next 10 years, will be the future of the beauty salon and the hairdresser? And he said, are you kidding? You guys have it made. He said, you're in one of the best spots because who knows about my five little hairs? I want two of them here. I feel very confident in many ways, but it is going to be the modern person that grasps the technology, right?
And we've never been, I don't believe in my 40 years, we've ever been as competitive an industry as we are today. Meaning the competition is fierce. We have more professionals, we have more salons, we're in a really fast-changing world. Consumers look at everything different, especially coming out of pandemic. And so, we need to find tools to make us more competitive. And I think one of the classic tools, I thought of it as you're talking about your walk through the salon. In the old days, if you were lucky enough that Sam Mercado was in your town and he happened to buy your salon, you could do that walkthrough with Sam. And what do you think, Sam? What do you think about this, that, and the other? Or what do you think, Sheila? What should I be doing different? What have you seen? But that doesn't happen very often to most of us, so the idea that you can go use a tool and do exactly what you said and perhaps get some advice that may be as good or better than what you would have got otherwise, it just blows me away.
So, Gordon, what would be the best piece of advice right now that we can give the people that are listening of how they get involved? Or what would be the step number one, step number two, just some direction for them, and then the good part of it, and then some of the things that they need to be aware of?
Well, I think first, it's like most things, it's get out there and play with it, get out there and get to know it. It's like a new service in the salon. A lot of people are bringing extensions in, but you don't go to a beauty show and watch a demo of extensions and start offering them the services to your clients, right? You go practice, you get resources, you get perhaps certified. AI, again, there's so much fear of it because people haven't experienced it and they just hear what they hear. So I think get out there and do it, use it, play with it, watch some YouTube videos, look for the ones with the most views. There's just all kinds of great tutorials and spend a couple months just learning it, understanding it as in the context of what you do as a small business person or a large business person. So I think that's number one, number two, and number three. Get out there and use it. And find people in the industry, as we always have in history, who are in that space. Sam Mercado, Sheila Wilson, and others who are playing around with it and share thoughts, get insights from them. Again, before you try to implement things into your business. So I think that's really the starting place, which is to dispel some of the fears and worries that people have, and just get out there and get familiar, because you will be blown away. One of my favorite things to say to people is, you know, if your salon is active online, which I hope it is, you know, put in, ask it to summarize, say summarize colon and then the name of your business, or summarize Intercoiffure North America, and put the URL in there. It'll come back and give you like 100 words and tell you everything about yourself or about an organization or about a service, you know, that's built on a website specifically, not just asking for information. Again, it's just mind blowing. So, and fun. And in terms of the fear, you know, things that we need to worry about, again, it's, again, don't running in and just getting started because it's a new best thing. You've got to figure out where are the pain points in your business and where it might have some application. And most importantly, especially if you listen to the people behind this, OpenAI is probably the biggest influence in all of this space. Sam Altman, you know, who's the co-founder of OpenAI, you know, he says, when asked, what does he think about how it's doing? He's like, it's a baby. It's an infant. He's like, I'm not that even that proud of it. He said, it has a long ways to go, and a long ways could be 24 months in this space. He believes that maybe it will look completely different in a couple of years. It may not be the tools that we think. So it's new. It's a baby. There are definitely things that can go wrong as far as it giving information. Sam had an experience, I think, where it did what's called a hallucination, where you ask it something. You got a hallucination, right, Sam?
Which one are you referring to?
I think it had to do, you were asking it something about numbers or stuff in your, and it just said something weird to you at the bottom of its recommendation to you that may, you may not remember it, but I've talked to a lot of people where it literally, and they call it a hallucination, where it just kind of goes, takes a left turn and speaks gibberish to you.
Actually, there were two separate times we did color formulation requests. Both wrong. One was for a platinum blonde and it came out a golden blonde formula. One was for a copper red. And the formula was, it was just not a good copper red. And one of my master colorists said, that's 20-year-old information. So again, like you said, remember, it's only knowledgeable up to September of 21, I believe.
December of 2021. Yep. Okay. End of the year. You know, and here, you know, really important to understand. Again, we think about our industry and human beings. I think there's a similar issue that AI faces that we all face. And that is that it sucks at math. It is not good at math yet. And they talk about it all the time. If you try to get it to do things that are overly mathematical, it will falter. It will give you false information, or it might hallucinate on you. They're working hard to fix it. And so much of fixing AI is, it's kind of like Wikipedia, you know, a Wikipedia article. It's only as good as all the input that's there. And every time someone puts in something, it perhaps gets a little better. And the more everyone uses AI, the smarter it will be, just as the more often we use our brains, the smarter we are.
You know, I asked it the other day to write code for a hair salon app.
Ooh.
And it was scary fast. And it wrote, I mean, I'm not a code person, but it wrote out what it said was code to check a person in, to check a person out, to charge them, and on and on and on, and several pages of that.
And it's brilliant at writing code from everything I've read and seen. And again, the trick is to then implement that code on a test site, for an example, and make sure it really truly does everything that it's supposed to do. And that is one of the fear factors, even amongst the AI experts, that it really is good at writing code. Perhaps it could write malware code, you know, that hacks people's accounts. Perhaps it can write phishing emails, you know, that are even better than the Nigerian princes asking us for millions of dollars, you know. So, I mean, so there are, as in, look, nuclear power, right? I mean, nuclear power, forgetting about politics, has transformed the world in so many ways. And yet it's one of the most horrific weapons. It is the most horrific weapon in the history of mankind. So good and bad. And a lot will depend on what the government chooses to do to regulate this. They did a shitty job, excuse my French, of regulating social media. Hopefully they'll do better with AI.
Well, I think we're going to probably stop it at this point, and then we're going to come back and we're going to expand on some of the conversation that we've had. I've taken notes, and then hopefully we can get back again for another segment. And I'm pretty sure we're going to have some feedback, because every time people start listening to these podcasts, I get tons of emails and saying, what about this? What about that? And I'm going to pass them on to you, Gordon and Sam, and then let's schedule another time for a continuation of this interesting subject.
So what we should do, Gordon, don't you think we should take the show notes, drop them in chat, and ask it to organize some additional or expand upon the conversation in a way that'd be helpful to our audience.
I love that.
Hey, you know what? I think that's perfect. So which one of you want to do that?
Oh, well, you'll have the show notes, so I have to lean on you guys a little bit, but I think either of us can do it. And I think we can also, you know, again, ask it, you know, how can Salon see this going for? I mean, we can come up with a great little group of questions that we can put into ChatGPT before we get back on it. And I think that'll make for a fun conversation.
Great.
I think it will too. And I'm going to put in a little advertising plug here. Gordon has agreed to be at the Intercoiffure Fall Atelier. He's going to speak on this subject there. So I'm pretty excited about that. And I know, Sam, you're doing flips.
And it's in my hometown, right? You're coming to Chicago.
You just can walk over. Have 5 cups of coffee and walk over.
I love it.
So Gordon, we've sort of adopted you permanently to be our go-to person with this AI. So it's going to be a fun trip and conversations moving forward. So I can't thank you enough for your time. And Sam, thank you. And we will be in touch and we'll be back on in another podcast. And I appreciate everybody out there listening to us and also being a part of Intercoiffure America Canada.
Thank you, Sheila. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us for the ICA Podcast 9 podcast. Be sure to tune in next week for more industry insight and information. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, too, and share it with your friends in the industry. Our only goal is to bring people together and share information with those that need it. Intercoiffure America Canada is proud to be the voice for salon owners. For more information about us, visit intercoiffure.com. That's intercoiffure.com.